I was reading today, or not today, but earlier this week, and just the Lord just gave me something that I thought was going to be, maybe something I would want to look back on in a year or so and remember my own words. What I didn't know was he was giving me that for the very next day. And I'll share a little bit more about that as we get into this. But every single one of us has reasons that anyone would agree might be reasons to worry. We worry about our relationships. Maybe we have wayward children. Maybe we have loved ones that are in dangerous situations, such as being overseas in military or other things. Or maybe we have somebody who's experiencing illness, and these things weigh on us. Or maybe we worry about our own personal safety. Maybe it's not the greatest neighborhood that we're in, or we're on the road with crazy drivers. Sometimes I'm thankful when I'm riding that, for what I don't see, just by the way people react. It seems to be an increase in crime wherever you are. Maybe we worry because our health is failing. We're getting older. Stuff is starting to go wrong. Lord, what's going to happen? What am I going to do? There's some of us who at various times in our lives have worried about very basic things like, what am I going to eat? Where am I going to live? Our economy is, a lot of people have lost their jobs over this whole COVID thing. Or maybe they've even lost assets. Things have decreased in value, or any number of things happen. We look at our government. Some of us look at the things our government is doing, and that makes us worry. Oh Lord, what's going to happen? Is this the end? And it's not without merit. Stuff does happen. Bad stuff happens in this world we live in. Jesus even said, in this world you're going to have trouble. And there is wisdom in some level of planning and trying to in some way buttress ourselves against those things that are coming, that we know are going to likely be part of our lives. Wise planning and worry are not the same thing. And the Proverbs are full of admonitions to plan wisely. The word worry is defined in English. I looked it up in dictionary.com. And what it says is to torment oneself with or suffer from disturbing thoughts or to fret. The Greek word that we're going to see translated worry in the verse that we'll read today means to be kind of the same thing, to be anxious, to be troubled or with cares, to care for or look out for something. But there's another sense in which the word is used that means to seek to want to promote one's interests or to care for or provide for. So this word in Greek actually encompasses all the different ways in which we might worry or might be anxious and what we might do about it. It really kind of covers everything that we might worry about. But Jesus had something to say about that. And one of the things he said was, your worry doesn't change a thing. He said, your Father knows what you need better than you do. That's sort of my take on what he said. And what you have now, or whatever you lack now, cannot be compared to what he plans to give you in the future. With that, I'm going to read. This will seem familiar, of course, to people who have read the Bible, but also, you know, if you're more familiar with the passage in Matthew, there's some similarities between this and what you might remember from that passage that we typically think of as the Sermon on the Mount. But this is Luke chapter 12, and I'm kind of really going to cover a broader range, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to read from 25. Verse 25 to 32. And hopefully I can get through it without stumbling too bad, because I had a very shabby driver and I didn't do my practice. And which of you, by worrying, can add one day to his lifespan? Therefore, if you cannot even do a very little thing, why do you worry about other things? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither labor nor spin, but I tell you that even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like... That doesn't make...
Yeah.
In all his glory...
Did not clothe himself.
Clothed himself like one of these... Yeah, so I don't know what happened. Maybe when I cut and paste that, I left part of it out. But it does not clothe himself like one of these. Did not clothe himself like one of these. Now, if God so clothed the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? Do not seek what you are to eat or what you are to drink, and do not keep worrying, for all these things are what the nations of the world eagerly seek, and your Father knows that you need these things. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be added to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, because your Father has chosen to give you the kingdom. Amen.
Amen.
But I love the way he said this, and this is what caught my attention. He says, which of you can, by worrying, can add a single, some translations put it, a single hour even, to his lifespan? This is determined, your lifespan, after all, is determined by God. We can do things that help prolong it, but ultimately we don't control that. Psalm 139:16 says, your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In your book were all written the days of my, the days that were ordained for me when there was not yet even one of them. And you might remember also the story of King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was told by Isaiah the prophet from the Lord, your time's up. Get your house in order, you're going to die. But the king prayed. He didn't worry, he prayed. He prayed to God, and God answered him and said, okay, I'll give you 15 more years. God is in control. Yeah. He says, "You." And by the way, we as children of God have eternity. And there's another sense in which you can read this. And you know what? You can't add anything to infinity. You as a child of God, have eternal life. So don't be worrying over this thing. And I love the way he said it. You can't even do this very little thing. But see, because to the creator of the universe, it is a little thing. He created you. He could certainly determine whether you get more life or not. And he gave you eternal life. He said, you can't even do that. Don't worry about anything else. The God who created you can do that. And he has. And then he says, consider God's care for creation. If you read, take a few verses back from where we started, he said, look at the birds. God feeds them. They don't do anything. They don't stock up. But God makes sure they're taken care of. And the flowers are pretty, but tomorrow, not tomorrow, they'll be mowed down and burned up. But if they're prettier than anything you can put on your body. And you are of far greater value than any of that. Anything else God has created, you're of far greater value. So don't worry about these things. Seek His kingdom. And if you read back if you were hearing the little song that we played during the offertory, in that version it says, or in that account it says, seek first His kingdom. He said the world chases after all these physical things and their real needs. And the Bible is full, as we said, of instruction to be responsible. Proverbs tells us not to be lazy, to provide for our own needs. In 2 Thessalonians, Paul says, if you're not working, you ought not to eat. Or if you will not work, let me rephrase that. Obviously we have people that are disabled and really got to the place where they can't work. Because if you're not willing, though, he says, you're not willing to work, it's different. Then you shouldn't eat. So obviously we provide for our needs, but first we seek His kingdom. We put His desires, His wants, His plan for our life, His will, we put those things first. And trust that He knows what we need. And that He will give us what we need. Now, is it necessarily going to be what we want? Maybe not. But He knows what you need. And He chooses, not all versions, the version that I read this out of doesn't have the word gladly in it. Some of your versions have gladly. The older New American Standard had gladly. He has chosen, and that is the sense of the word. He has chosen gladly. He rejoices in being able to give you the kingdom. Not only is it promised, He takes joy in giving it to you. What kingdom is this? God's kingdom. Jesus is the King, and we have been made joint heirs with Him, and we're called that in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. It says in 2 Timothy 2:12 and in Revelation 5:10, also 22:5, that we will reign with Him. He literally, truly will have given us the kingdom. I want to back up just a little bit now and get into the context a little bit. If you look back in that chapter, this discourse starts when somebody in the crowd says to him, Lord, or teacher, tell my brother to divide the family inheritance with me. And Jesus then warns against greed. And he says, look, life does not consist merely of the things that you have. And then he tells the story of the rich man who had so much that his answer was, I'm just going to build more barns and put up all my stuff, and then I'm going to party because I've got everything I need. And God says, you fool, your life is going to end tonight. I'm paraphrasing. And then who's going to get all your stuff? But then he says, therefore, don't make these things your primary concern. Use what you have to benefit others, And now I've moved on at past verse 32 to 33 and 34 there. And that's the sense of that. It doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's got to take a vow of poverty. But basically, use what you have. We have some wonderful examples of that right in our body. Use what you have to benefit others. Because you can't take it with you. Trade it for treasure in heaven, he says, where nothing can touch it. Nobody can steal it. It's not going to rot away. It'll be there for eternity. And then he says, wherever your treasure is, whatever you value, that's where your heart is. If your heart is with all this stuff, then your heart's not with God. So how do we apply then all of this to our lives? And I'm going to get to kind of how this helped me this week here in a minute. But I looked up on WebMD the effects of worry. Worrying too much, it says, can trigger a release of stress hormones that speed up your heart, raise your breathing rate, raise your blood sugar, and send the blood to your arms and legs. Over time, this can affect your heart, blood vessels, muscles, and other systems. The muscles in your shoulders and neck can tense up, and that can lead to migraines and tension headaches. You might breathe more deeply, and that could, if you have breathing problems, make those breathing problems more serious. It can make you more likely to have high blood pressure, a heart attack, or a stroke. Stress hormones also give you a burst of fuel, which is good if you're in danger, in the form of blood sugar. But if your body ordinarily will store this, but sometimes it doesn't, and then you wind up with blood sugar that stays too high for too long, and that leads to things like diabetes, stroke, and kidney disease. If you're worried, let me rephrase that. If your body is affected by the physical effects of worry, it may make it hard for you to fight off diseases. If you are, theoretically anyway, if you're so afraid of COVID that you worry about it all the time, you could actually get sick. You could actually get COVID from worrying about getting COVID. It can lead to things like stomach ulcers. Constant fretting can also affect your bowels. It can cause you to have reproductive system issues. That's as far as I'll take that. But worry... I used to tell, I had a little friend who was extremely sheltered and used to cry over when his mom would be late. And he had prayed the prayer of salvation when we were just little kids together with me. So I told him, worry's a sin. You need to quit worrying about whether your mom is going to get here. And you know what? He eventually got past that. Whether I had anything to do with it, only the Lord knows. But the thing is, worry sprouts from fear, and it means that we're not trusting in the Lord, and we're feeling like we've got to fix it. It's all up to us. We've got to make it right, and it hurts us, and it can even hurt those around us. And not only that, as Jesus has told us here, you can't change anything by worrying about it. So how do we win against worry? It's kind of the same kind of things that we do when we are combating fear, right? Because worry is just prolonged fear. Is the fear reasonable? And if it's reasonable, is it likely? And if it's real or if it's likely, is there some reasonable action that we can take to mitigate the possibility that that could happen? What can we do? If there's a reasonable precaution, if there's a reasonable thing that we can do, by all means, do it. That's wise. God teaches us to be wise. That's why we buy insurance. That's why we lock our doors at night. Because those are smart things to do. But for the rest of it, really for all of it, but especially for those things that there's nothing really we can do about, the best thing that we can do is draw close to our Lord. Know and believe His Word. Believe what we read today. Seek His presence. Seek to learn and to walk with Him. And know, like we said last week, that He's got a hold of your hand. I was reading that and working on that, I think it was Tuesday. On Wednesday, we find out that we got major plumbing issues. We got $18,000 worth of plumbing issues. And that might not be the end of it. And all of a sudden, I started having second thoughts. Now, up until then, I'd been believing, okay, Lord, You gave me this time. You gave me this time to take, to focus on Your work, to focus on the church, to do the things that I believe You've called me to do. Thank You, Lord. I was so excited. I was joyful when I got laid off. Because I felt like the Lord was changing things, doing things I wouldn't do for myself to change my trajectory and move me toward what He wants. And I knew that it would mean that I would have to trust Him. But, I was figuring out, when the severance run out, I might need to look back at this and remind myself. Well, the very next day, we get this message, and I start having second thoughts. Oh, Lord, is this really what am I really doing the right thing? Maybe I should have taken up this offer. Maybe I should have done this. Maybe I should have done that. Maybe I need to get back on the stick and make sure that I jump right into something else. Did I miss it? Am I not doing the right thing, Lord? He said, no, seek first My kingdom. Let Me take care of the rest. Now, does that mean I act stupid? Does that mean that when the time comes, I'm not a little bit more aggressively and actively seeking to make sure that that my family's taken care of? No, I'll still do that. But I hope that I'll remember at that time as well, seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be added to you. Let's not worry about the things we can't change. Let's not worry about the things we can change. Do what's prudent and reasonable to do. But most of all, do what the Lord tells you and trust Him to take care of you in it. I used to scoff at people who said things like that. I believe that, but I also believe the part that says if you don't take care of your own family, you're worse than an unbeliever. That was my standard response. Well, I still believe that. But there is a time when we have to just trust the Lord and do what He said. Amen. And I believe He said to me, focus on this church. Make sure this church, or do my part anyway, it's really up to the Lord. Make sure this church stays alive and grows. And so that's my commitment. I'm not going to worry. I'm going to do what He told me to do. So thank You, Lord. Thank You. I trust that You will continue to speak to us. You will continue to lead us and guide us. you will continue to show us what we ought to do. Because this is not only a message for me in my personal life, this is a message for us as a church. We got certain things we think have to be a certain way. But all that has to happen, all that's really important, is that we hear you and do what you say and let you take care of the rest. You know what we need as a body. You know where we need to go. You know what needs to happen. We put our trust in you today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.